Welcome to the Boomer Woman's Podcast. I'm your host, Agnes Knowles. Online security, personal information security. I can be a bit of a bear with those subjects and love to jump on a soapbox with anybody who doubts their importance. So you can imagine my glee to find a like-minded woman who also comes with an official position in that world. Wendy is with the Cybersecurity Department at Yale University and covers so much information in this episode that you'll be clicking each and every link below her bio. Listen now. Today's guest is a podcaster who I met through another podcaster. I read my intro and I pause on that because the word should be whom, but it sounds so stilted.
Oh, anyways, I
know. Yeah. She caught my eye because one of her podcasts comes out of Yale University Cybersecurity Department, and I can really get on a soapbox when it comes to online security, online and any personal information security. We've all heard about someone getting sucked into a phone scam. Wendy also has a second podcast, and it's the one that convinced me immediately she was someone I needed to meet. It's called Reinvention Rebels, and I'm all for any woman who wants to flex her rebel muscle and reinvent herself. I think I'm about on plan J myself. Today, we're going to discuss cybersecurity, as it should be part of every facet of our lives. Wendy Battles, welcome to the Boomer Woman's Podcast.
Thank you so much, Agnes. I am so excited to be here.
I am too, although I will admit perhaps a little starstruck. Yale comes with a pretty good reputation. Like, what credentials, what training did you need to get on with them?
It's interesting because I work in the Office of Information Security, which sounds like it's very technical, and many of the things we do in our 35-person team is in fact technical behind the scenes. But Agnes, I know nothing about any of those things. In fact, my role as the Cybersecurity Awareness Advisor is one of informing, engaging, inspiring our Yale community, which is comprised of faculty, staff, and students to be more cyber secure. And that has nothing to do with technical skills. That has to do with communication skills, training skills, understanding human behavior, understanding how people build habits. So it's an interesting skill set that comes from many other jobs and experiences I've had that really prepared me to join this team and help protect our community.
Okay, so I mean, I came in here thinking, oh my God, this woman's got like credentials as long as her arm. But in fact, you're probably even more the right person to have on podcasts because you're used to talking to people, like just regular people.
Exactly. And I always remember too that because I'm not a technical person, I can appreciate how we speak to communities that are not technical. We have to break things down, make them understandable, make them easy to digest. Because if someone comes at me with technical stuff, I'm like, what? Say what? What does that mean? Like, I don't understand it. So I think I've got a great personality and understanding to be able to really help people. And sometimes that is translating. Sometimes it's translating something that's technical, talking to the team to understand what does that mean in regular speak, right? So that I can then explain it to our community.
Oh, that's great. A couple of years ago, I did have another cybersecurity person on, but he was even older than me. And he was like right in the early days of computers. So he was super technical and, you know, shall I say, almost derisive of people who weren't smart enough to, you know, make a secure password. But anyways,
well,
I learned a lot
from that today.
Him.
None of that today. This is all about us people that are non-technical, that are trying to figure out how do I become more cyber safe in this nutty and sometimes chaotic world in which we live.
Yeah. Now, the Be Cyber Fit podcast, the one out of Yale, it seems, I did take a look at it, although I didn't have time to listen to anything. It seems fairly specifically aimed at the Yale population. There were some episodes that I found interesting. Click with caution, keep your data secure during summer travel season, tax scams. I mean, just this morning when we were emailing, I commented that my brother had just received a text offering him a $900 tax rebate if he responded to the text, you know. So, but are those episodes, those are understandable then by the general public?
They are everything that we talk about because it's called Be Cyber Fit, and where our goal is to really simplify cybersecurity, and our tagline is simplifying cybersecurity for everyone. So even though we reference in some of the episodes the Yale community and how it might apply to them, it's honestly general information about cybersecurity, about threats, about things that we should all be aware of, whether you work at the university or not, but just in our daily lives. And we can apply that information. So absolutely, I think that everybody can gain insights, information, even a little inspiration and definitely empowerment, Agnes, from listening to this podcast.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, that's a great word. Okay, I'm a legend in my own mind, so if I voice an urban myth or I misspeak, please just correct me. Don't cushion it.
I love
Okay, I'd
it.
like to start with passwords. Reuse of passwords, simple passwords. They're a couple of my soapbox subjects, I will admit. I will also admit that that was then. This is now. Back then, in the early days of being online, I used some variation of my name and birth date repeatedly. What advice do you have about passwords?
The first thing I want to say is I understand why it is that people like to use the same password for different applications because it's so hard to keep all these different passwords straight. So I think that's where people get into trouble because they're like, I'm going to use this password or something very similar to it, to your point, right? Because it's just sort of easy to remember. But here's the thing. We don't want to do that because if a cyber criminal were able to somehow figure out your password or somehow someone, hacks into something, they figure out your password and you have the same password for different applications, they may then go and try that same password. And that could unlock, right, your more personal information. So that's really the reason that we don't want to do that. And then there's the, well, okay, if I have to have different passwords, what are some of the things I should be thinking about with passwords? And we have some basic things that we talk about at Yale. We encourage people to think about. One of them, to your point, is we want complex passwords. We don't want 123456 because that sometimes we might get, for example, with our wireless router, that might be the administrative password. That's the default password that we may never change. So we always want to be thinking about something that's much harder to figure out, that's much more robust, that has a mix of letters, numbers, special characters, uppercase, lowercase, things that are going to make it harder to figure out. And the other thing I'll say that's helpful is to think about using passphrases. So we talk a lot about using passphrases. My dog is pink, green, and blue, 2024 exclamation point, for example. Something that might be easier for you to remember. So that's one approach is to use passphrases that are easier to remember or might trigger something. But again, you don't want to use the same one. You just want to really mix it up, make it as complex and as long as you can.
In our emails, I mentioned haystacks. And one thing I really appreciated about that was, as you say, use a phrase, but then I think the word they use is a filler. So, my dog's name is Spot, or my dog is Spot,
Yeah.
then it put whether it's an exclamation mark or a dot or an asterisk or something between each word. And then I guess you could change up your filler every time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you could absolutely do that. You can get creative with it. You can definitely use those special characters that you're referencing, like an asterisk in between the words. I love that idea. And that's just going to make it harder for them to figure out. And the other thing I will add, Agnes, because it's still the question of, well, okay, Wendy, you're telling me I should have a different password for every different application that I use. Well, where am I going to store these passwords? Where am I going to keep track of these passwords? And you know, there's two, in my mind, there's two different ways. There's the I'm going to write it down somewhere way, and you might have a little book where you put passwords in that you keep somewhere secure, so not just anybody could find it, right, to keep track of them. Or a more secure way is to use a password manager. And the idea behind,
I pay
right?
$50 a month for my, or a year for my password manager, and it's like nothing for the value that I get.
Exactly. Thank you, Agnes. It's like nothing for the value you get. That is so perfectly said. Why? Because if you're not familiar with what a password manager is, it is a place where online all the passwords are stored, but they're stored behind a master password. So the only thing you need to remember is the master password. And one of the advantages of using a password manager is that if you happen to go to a site. So, for example, let's say that you want to buy a handbag and you Google Kate Spade. And so, katespade.com is the website. But if you Google Kate Spade instead of typing in katespade.com, you sometimes can get results that are not the real katespade.com. And there are websites that look just like katespade.com, but they're fake websites. And the thing about the password manager is that it when you have gone to a page and it's they know the real page, if you go to the fake katespade.com, it would recognize that's not real. So it's going to give you a little bit of information. It's going to help prevent you going to the wrong page. But much more importantly, to your point of protecting your valuable resources, the time and money and frustration and anger and overwhelm that it will take if someone steals your identity or gains access to your accounts, steals your money, all that is so much greater than the $50 you are paying per year for this password manager. So it is so important. And there are so many different ones, Agnes. And what I can do is share with you the link to an article from PC Magazine that rates different password managers because there's different features, you know, there's different prices, but none of them are super expensive. And you might want to just get, you know, just get it for yourself. You might want to get a family plan, but it helps you understand some of the different features. So I'm happy to share that with you for your listeners as just a really simple resource to investigate because so much of this is being willing to think about what are some simple things I can do to protect my online identity and my resources. And it is so critically important, as you already know so well, that we are proactive.
Well, and the other thing I'll say too is, and maybe I'm speaking to my own laziness, but I'll go to register at a site or something. And when they say, okay, create a password, suddenly there's rules. Must contain this many, that many, or this and that, and this however many characters, no special characters. So I go into my password manager, I unclick special characters, I put in how many characters I want, and boom, they come up with a really complex password. And it's just, for me to sit down and sort of count out, okay, there's 16. Oh, yeah, I've got this.
Right.
Okay, like that's a pain to me. So yeah, I just cannot say enough about my password manager.
I completely agree. And there's so many out there. So there's plenty of different possibilities once people are open to investigating the options.
Okay. One thing I did want to go to is just with password hackers. A lot of people tend to think that there's some moron sitting at their desk going, oh, that didn't work. Oh, that didn't work. No, these are bots, right? They do hundreds, thousands, even millions of guesses per second.
Yes, exactly. I know it's hard to conceive of when we think that someone is just, you know, it's like the hacker in a hoodie in front of a computer, just kind of working away at it. And it is totally not that. It is incredibly automated. It is they call them brute force attacks, that they keep going, 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 trying to figure it out till they kind of, you know, and unlike, you know, just like we might call a customer service center for our credit card, they basically have something, cyber criminals, it's the equivalent where all day, that's all people do is, you know, on the phone trying to trick you or, doing whatever they do, just like we would do our jobs all day. That's what they do all day to try to steal our money, our identity, our resources, our confidential data, etc. So you are so right. And that is one more reason we need those robust passwords. It goes back to this idea of we need, I don't know if there's anything that's completely cyberproof, no matter what we do, but we can certainly increase exponentially, or decrease, I should say, the likelihood that those things can happen.
Now, just on that whole scam thing, somebody being on the phone, you hear about the phone call. I'm from Microsoft, and I can tell your computer is, there's something wrong with it. Like, first of all, I cannot imagine how many billions of people Microsoft would have to hire to, or if they could even figure out where, what my
Yes.
address is. But can you just talk about that for a second?
Yeah, absolutely. I know that in the moment when you get a phone call like that, they try to catch you off guard. They try to use urgency. They try to use emotions. They may threaten you about something to get you to act. They may make it seem like it's too good to be true, like you've won this amount of money and you just need to go here and, give us whatever. So anytime we hear those phone calls, I think it's an opportunity for us to stop and pause. Is this really even realistic? Is this really true? One of the things that we talk about at Yale, we have this model that we call recognize, relax, rethink. Recognize, relax, rethink. So the first thing is recognizing it. Does that seem feasible? Are they really going to be calling me from Microsoft to tell me something is wrong with my computer when they're not connected to my computer? Like, how would they know that? But it's the same thing that when you get a pop-up, you might get a pop-up that says there's something wrong with your computer or you need to call this number. Again, it's just another ploy, but they're not actually connected to your computer to know that. So we have to recognize, does that actually seem realistic? Is that even possible? And then we talk about relaxing, meaning like, let me pause, because I think that sometimes we feel pressured by these cyber criminals to act. And one of the things, Agnes, we talked about in one of our podcast episodes is about an older person that was kept on the phone for something like 11 hours straight and ended up giving this cyber criminal 35 $1,000 in gift cards. They will, they'll work their magic and they'll threaten you and they'll make it seem like they're going to come and get you or you're in trouble or something bad's going to happen. And they'll do everything to tell you, well, don't tell anybody. Like, they make it very secretive because sometimes people will go to the store and even a clerk might be suspicious. They're like, oh, no, I'm fine. They'll ask, they're like, no, I'm fine. Because they'll tell you, don't tell anyone what you're doing. So that idea of relaxing, pausing is really important. And then rethinking. Well, what could I do? I'm not sure about this. Could I, is there a trusted friend I could reach out to? Or someone that could help me validate, Wendy, you're not crazy. That something about that is very suspicious. So when in doubt, let's ask somebody we trust if we need a second opinion. If we're not sure, instead of clicking on a link or giving someone access to something or staying on the phone with someone that's threatening you, first, just hang up. And two, then let's talk to people that we trust to help us understand the situation instead of acting in that moment.
Right. One thought and then a question is, first of all, the thought, just yesterday there was a story break here in Canada, and I know there was one couple of weeks ago. It was a story that they covered, and some of these people that are trying to get this information, that are on the phone with you, or however they're communicating, they are sometimes sitting in a developing nation having applied for what seemed like a good job, and then they are basically kidnapped. And if they don't reach quotas, they are beaten. They're like all sorts of dreadful things, So, yet another reason why they are pressuring you, because they don't, at the end of the day, they don't want to get beaten up.
No,
So.
and often it's right, it's under duress to your point. And just like we all need to have a livelihood, and of course, circumstances are often very different in developing countries where they don't have the access to things that we have, where they have to often work much harder for not a lot of money, where they're often just getting by. I know the kind of things that in the West we just often don't think of because it's not our daily needs are met. Our basic needs are met, where that's not always the case. So yes, you're right. Sometimes it's under coercion that people are doing this for their livelihood just to survive.
Now, the question I was going to ask is a long time ago. I understood that if you open an email or like on my cell phone, if it says unknown caller, I don't answer. If I actually acknowledge that or the text that says, "Hey, Jane, are we meeting tomorrow at 10?" If I even open those, they can tell that it's a live call, a live whatever. And so they will keep on harassing. Whereas if you just don't answer, it could be that they've gotten like an inactive or a number that isn't monitored very well. Is
Yeah,
that?
I think that's right. I think that whenever you get the un like I just don't even answer when it's an unknown number, and sometimes it's on my phone, it will say spam, but sometimes it doesn't. So if it's a phone call, I basically don't answer it unless sometimes someone calls you and the number seems vaguely familiar. So I might answer, or I'll just wait to the voicemail, because so many times you'll notice that they then don't even leave a voicemail. It's just this, it's just machines that are doing these phone calls. I mean, sometimes it's just spam phone calls. It's not necessarily even something that's super bad, but it's just, so I just try to ignore that. And the same thing, like when it comes to text messages, yes, just today I got one of those that happens all the time. Hey, what are you doing? Or like, are you coming to New York tomorrow? And you know what often they want to do is get you in a conversation so that if you answer, because if you look at the number, you don't know who it is. Then I'm thinking, and then sometimes they use the wrong name or they don't use the name at all. I mean, just there's always, without it even having a link in it or anything like that, but just this conversation starter, because they have many different strategies and tactics that they use. So sometimes it's like they'll put a link in a text message. You've won some amount of money that's totally unrealistic. And other times it's, to your point, Agnes, they just have that question. That generic question. Maybe it's your name, maybe it's not, maybe it's the wrong name, because I've gotten that too. And that's really what they want to do, is get you talking and in conversation about things to then start this whole process of reeling you in many different ways.
Yeah, and it's scary to think how sophisticated some of the, I mean, some of the scripts are, like they just know how to hit a, I'm going to go out on a limb here and there's going to be haters, I just know it. But when you go to someone who predicts your future, and they can often come up with things that are just general enough, but the way you hear it, you think, oh, that is me. They know exactly what they're talking about. So I'm sure the scripts for these callers are the same, where there's a few key things they can say that you go like, oh, they really do know me.
Yeah. The one other thing I'll mention is about romance scams and catfishing, which is so prevalent. And a typical tactic is that if you meet someone on let's say, a dating site, and they're asking you to get off that site onto like WhatsApp or something like that, that's always a no-no. They want to get off those official sites to start communicating with you like all the time. Because basically, a lot of times, it's fake profiles, and they'll start with spinning this story about how they're on an oil rig or they need money or something's happened. And I cannot tell you how many people have been sucked in. Often it happens to women. It could be anybody, but sucked into this narrative. It could be because you're lonely, feeling isolated. So it's a way to connect with people, and then they're always available to talk. And so if you're feeling lonely and isolated, and this is someone who's available, then you're thinking, well, this feels pretty good. But that's always a telltale sign when someone is like, I want to get off of like match.com, for example, and then let's meet on, whatever messaging site. That's a bad sign.
The analogy I heard just recently was, if you are, I don't know, at your favorite park feeding the ducks, you get talking to somebody, and then tomorrow it's the same thing. And then the day after that, they say, oh, I know this other park way across town. I would rather we met there. Like you're going like, no, I'm not going to go over there, like out of my, like just out of my comfort zone completely. But yet, on when it's online stuff, and especially, I suppose, if there's a bit of romance involved, people get sucked right in.
Sucked right in. And smart people, this can happen to anybody. First of all, I think that we think that it's only dumb people cybercrime happens to. It happens to everybody in many different ways. And cybercriminals often know that, for people that have less money, what's appealing is you've won money. For people that have money, that are, smart, educated people, they get tricked too. And it's often about like investments or something. It's appealing to what they think people want. And so they have all kinds of ways to scam you, whether you have little money, a mean amount of money, or a lot of money. And people can fall for these things. So it just doesn't stop. But to your point that you just made, Agnes, about like this example of the park, well, I could go to this, why don't we go to this other park? That gets back to trusting your gut feeling. I believe that we all are intuitive. Maybe we're not tapping into our intuition, but we all can get a gut feeling about something. And I certainly have had many times where something didn't feel right, but I did it anyway. And that was a mistake. I've learned in my almost 60 years to trust my intuition that when I get that feeling, and sometimes you get that feeling, but you're not quite sure. You don't know what it is. You just know that something doesn't feel quite right. And maybe you can't put your finger on it, but when it comes to something like this, when it comes to online stuff and cybersecurity, if you get that feeling, even if you can't specifically say this is what it is, but you just have that feeling, that's telling you something that you should listen to.
I have on occasion posted a picture, a screenshot on Facebook that, like, literally in one morning, I got 10 or 12. Well, it's all my long lost relatives that have died and left me all their millions, right? And it's like, holy crikey, what am I doing? I could be retired on a tropical island that I own by now.
Which
That sort
sounds
of.
incredibly appealing. Like, who? I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's such a hook. It's like, oh, that sounds pretty amazing.
Okay, I do want to go to emails. First of all, explain what phishing is, please.
Phishing. Absolutely. Phishing is when you get an email that looks like it could be real. And in that email may be a link to a malicious site. It could be it could have a link asking you to sign in with you. Like, for example, at the university, people sometimes get fake login screens where we would put in our what we call our credentials, which is what is like a username and a password. But it could look just like a real screen, because these days people can replicate things to look just like it. And so if you enter your information in there, then that cyber criminal would now have access to, for example, in this case, your resources, or it could be your bank account or something like that. So it could be a screen that looks like your bank login screen. So people will phish you in that way. So it might be going to a fake website. It might be asking you to put in your credentials. It could be attachments, opening an attachment that then puts malware, aka a virus, on your computer that might have a little door that allows them to get into your computer. So there's many different ways that it can manifest, but it's usually a way to trick you into doing something that reveals some of your personal information. And the thing that makes it difficult now, Agnes, is that with AI, with artificial intelligence, there's so many more sophisticated ways to do this. Because I know you probably remember way back when, like in the 90s and the aughts, as they say, right, the 2000s, when there were like the Nigerian prince scams, and you get this email And it was full of spelling errors, grammatical errors. Like, you knew this was not real, telling you that you'd won like some millions of dollars. And it was really easy to tell that was fake. The problem now is it's really hard to tell because things are so much more sophisticated that they can make things look just like what you know. And what often happens is that people are moving so quickly. Oh, I've got all this email. I just have to get through it. Sometimes you're not paying attention to these nuanced things that might tip you off to tell you, that doesn't seem right.
It's funny, and I will admit that I am about as distrusting and suspicious as they come. I just recently, I think last week or the week before, got an email from Apple. And it was perfect timing because I had just agreed to pay, I don't know, $1.94 a month for extra storage. And I got an email saying there's a problem with your pay thing. So you can you just sign in and verify. And I'm going like, well, why would I do something that would, wouldn't follow up on that? Because the last thing I want to do is lose my storage. So I opened another tab. I went into my pay portal. Everything was good, and they'd already taken, I guess it had been a couple of months, and there had been a couple of payments go through. So, and one, well, I'll finish this story first, is I just decided to ignore it. I'd take my chances. And sure enough, about 4 days ago, my $1.92 or whatever it was processed by Apple. Now, the other thing I do is when I get an email like that is I always check the return address. And in this particular case, it looked very valid. Now, I've also gotten emails from Michelle Obama, who emails me from Michelle Obama 9876543 21 at gmail.com. And I feel for Michelle Obama if she's now reduced to but I'm thinking, yeah, probably not. So I just won't open
Exactly.
that one.
Yeah, and those are all really good clues that you talked about. So checking the email address, because sometimes it can look like it's from that person, but like one letter's off, checking the URL, right? So the website address, and sometimes it's just like one character off, or maybe it's a big L instead of a small L that's part of the address, or something is a little off. So there are ways that we call it hovering to discover. That you can hover over the email address to see if, it'll have the display name. This is coming from Michelle Obama. And then to your point, it will have the email address. And so if you hover over, even if you can't automatically see it, when you hover over, usually you can see it. It tells us a lot about, Michelle Obama is not going to be sending something to you from a Gmail address, as you know. So we can look for clues as best we can in this sophisticated world where it's harder to tell now. And I think also because we are so distracted, many of us in our lives, moving so quickly, multitasking, doing all those things, I think that also contributes to sometimes missing the cues that if we could pause and maybe not rush through things. Because sometimes, you click on a link, you're like, oh my gosh, should I have clicked on that after you've done it? Because you're just like, and then you're like, uh-oh. uh-oh. Right? Because I think
I've
that,
never done
right.
that.
And that can happen to any of us. I mean, it happens to, faculty, staff, and students. It doesn't mean because you have like a PhD and you're amazingly smart that it can't happen to you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you're educated or not. We could all click on links by mistake and then regret it.
Yeah, big time. I think of all the emails I get where they say, click this to get that, there's only one, and I know exactly which one it is, so it's okay, but that I can't go to another tab, open the tab, and go in via my own route instead of clicking the link in the email.
Yes,
So.
that is it. That is it, Agnes. Yes. When in doubt, instead of if you have any question, if you have any thought like I'm not sure about this, that is exactly what you want to do. Just go to that site yourself, type in that site yourself in a different tab before just clicking on that link. And that is a really good strategy to then verify, is this a real site? Is this what I think it is? Is this what I'm expecting to see? So yes, I highly recommend that.
Good to know I'm doing something
Yes, you
right.
are. You're
Oh,
doing all the
actually,
right things.
as I say, I am just so suspicious. I spend a lot of time online and I've got so many different, fingers in the online pie that, yeah, it's just
Yes,
crazy.
yes. I think especially as we get older, we need to pay attention to these things. Like I know maybe we're like, well, someone else does it for me, or I haven't done it, but maybe I'm starting to do more of it. But there are so many different ways that people can trick us. And just another example is on social media. Have you ever, Agnes, received a friend request on Facebook from someone that you're already friends with? That ever happened to you? Because
I either that or he's really good looking. He's ex-military, U.S. Army,
oh,
high, like five-star
yes.
general. Unfortunately, they're all widowed.
Exactly.
If you ever look at my Facebook feed, I comment on it from time to time. I just dumped two
Yeah.
cowboys this time.
Oh, I check you out. You're a woman in demand.
Apparently. Don't
But
ask
that's just
me.
another way. Like people can sometimes use social media to gain information about you unknowingly. I know we don't think about that. And it could be anything from fake pages, fake accounts. And I've noticed this a lot. Whenever I get a request from someone that I'm already friends with, and with the, because it's not hard for people to take pictures from your
Oh, they're
page.
identical. They're
Yeah,
identical. Yeah.
exactly. And that's when I always get wary, and I will just say, "Hey, did you start a new Facebook page?" If I'm not sure, I usually will just ignore them. And decline it, but that's just something to be wary of. Also, even something as simple as the question, they'll have sometimes these little quizzes that you can do, and often they're just trying to harvest information about you, which they could use to try to figure out like your passwords. It could be like like about the street you grew up on or whatever. But so there are just so many different ways. So it all of that to say, you just have to be careful. And that goes back to, if you're not going to use a password manager, you should periodically go through and update your passwords. Don't have a password you've had for like 15 years, which probably isn't that robust anyway if you did it that long ago. So just, it's that idea of really being vigilant. It's not like a one and done thing. We need to constantly be thinking about, am I doing the things I need to do to stay safe online?
Okay, let's go from online to those phone calls we talked about. More and more, we're hearing about AI and how somebody will get a phone call, especially an older person, from someone who sounds exactly like their son or their grandchild. There's been an incident, they need money, and because it sounds exactly right, they get sucked right in.
It's really true. And that is a growing problem. I'm sure it will only continue to grow as the technology evolves. Because every time we're like, we kind of make one step forward, it's like two steps back because they're always steps ahead of us, these cyber criminals. And they're always coming up with new technologies and new ways to trick us. But yes, anytime you get either a phone call like that, because all we have to do is find someone's voice somewhere, and it's easy with AI tools to replicate that voice. So it can sound so real, but you have to again ask yourself, does this seem realistic? Is my grandchild at this place where they say they are? Are there questions I can ask this person that would reveal whether this is true or not? Who else can I mean, one answer is you can just hang up. That's one solution, right? Or, and then call up your son or daughter and say, is so and so, my grandchild, in X place, which they'll say, no, they're not.
Yeah. Well, the other thing
Or,
that I was going to say, the other
yeah.
thing I practice in my brain just so it'll roll off the tongue if it were to ever happen to me is asking a question like say it was my son that's in this bind and he needs money right away, asking if Jane is okay, as if Jane was his partner, knowing darn well that my son's partner is not called Jane,
Yeah.
So
Yeah, exactly. So that's a great way. It's a great way to have some like backup questions. I mean, I know that we don't know who's gonna call us or what the situation is gonna be. So it's not like we can have this whole list of questions that we have conveniently located in front of us when the phone happens to ring and we're calm enough to remember, oh, this might be a cyber criminal and let you know, that kind of thing. So I totally understand it's not necessarily that simple, but again, when people are suggesting things that because it's about urgency, like I need this money right away. Right, that's what that is all about, is the sense of urgency that they're going to play on. Oh my gosh, they're in trouble. And so it's fear and it's urgency that they're after when, you know, kind of catching you off guard. And you know, you care about this person. You don't want them to be stranded somewhere, but that's one of the oldest things in the playbook. So if someone calls you about that, you got to question it because that does not seem real. And there's many ways that we can question that. And it's the same thing now with, you know, that happens with phone calls. It can happen with phone calls, but also if people are on Zoom meetings, you know, they can actually, with AI, replicate people that could look like your coworkers and, you know, their voices and everything. And it looks like it's them and it's not. And recently, an employee at a company in Hong Kong gave someone credentials which gave away $25 million. $25 million. I mean, it was the company's money, but you know, still, because they thought that the people that in this Zoom meeting were the real people.
Yes. You
So
know, and you
some
hear
deep
stories like
fakes.
that, and you sort of think, damn, I wish I was that smart. What
Who are
could
you
I do
telling?
with $25
Who are you
million?
telling? I know, I'm thinking I am in the wrong business. But
Oh,
it's
dear.
true. It is really a problem. Same thing with pictures. So you can see pictures on LinkedIn, for example, that are deep fake pictures. They are generated by AI that are fake accounts. And, you know, it's often to encourage you to apply for jobs that are fake jobs. And you'll actually have a quote unquote interview. And they'll say, oh, we want to offer you this job, but we need you to go buy this equipment now to get started, and we're going to reimburse you. So it's just, there are so many different ways. I mean, more ways we can even talk about today to convince you, to trick you, to give up your money or your information in many different ways.
I'm glad you said that. I hope more than we could even discuss today, because as I was writing my notes, it's just like, oh man, this could go on for hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, just crazy. And I hate being that person that tells people be suspicious, but you know, like it might just be saving your bank account or who knows what,
It's
you
in our
know.
best interest. It is in our best interest. And a couple of things that people can do to safeguard things. You can use what we call MFA, multi-factor authentication. It's just a second way to validate that it's really you. They now have it like for your Gmail account and for, you can, you know, set up for Facebook and Instagram for social media. You should ha absolutely have it on your bank account. Anything that has really sensitive information. It's such a simple thing that you can do to safeguard things. The second thing I would recommend is that if you do not already have automatic updates set up on your devices, on your phone, on your tablet, on your laptop, it's really easy to do. You can figure out how to do it for your particular device. But that's so important that you want to, because software develops vulnerabilities, and it's through vulnerabilities that hackers can get in, like the back door. And the updates make sure that they're applying the latest patches to close up those vulnerabilities. And that's why we want to regularly be updating our machines, our devices. We don't want to just wait till like one day. Well, I don't have time right now. And if you set up automatic updates, then it usually happens overnight, like with your iPhone, if you have an iPhone or probably an Android, you know, it happens overnight, but that's one of the simplest things that any of us can do to protect our devices to make sure they are the most up to date. So just little things like that, you know, you want to make sure, for example, with your phone, which I think now anytime you get a new phone, it's standard that you would password protect your phone. But if you have an older phone where it didn't require that on setup of it, you could set it up manually. Because again, if your phone is lost or stolen, and if you don't have it protected, It's not hard for people to get, they depends. I mean, now you can also use your, you can use your fingerprint, you can use your eyes to as like that second thing to like log in instead of even typing in a password. So then maybe they can't do that, but it depends. But we use our phones, like our phones, like you know how it is, you forget your phone, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to the store, I forgot my phone. Oh my God. It's like we are so tethered to our devices. But imagine what would happen if you lost your device. That's the which leads also to backing it up. Not only do we need to do automatic updates, but we need to back it up because if you lose your phone, Agnes, and you have like your 10, I mean, I know that's not you because you just bought more storage space, but and you are proactive. But for people that are thinking, oh, huh, you want to make sure you're doing that as well so that then you can at least recover what's lost if that were to happen.
Okay. I'm going to back you up just a little bit. Multi-factor authentication is when you maybe type in your password and they say, okay, we've sent a code to your phone.
Yes.
I'll let you continue just in case there's somebody out there who doesn't know what multi-factor is.
Thank you for that. Absolutely. So, absolutely. They tell you they're going to send you a code. They're sending the code to your phone. So, no one else would have your phone and know the code but you. So, it's something that only you can supply. It's a second piece of information that only you would know that validates that you are who you say you are when you're trying to log into a site. And then you would take that code that comes on your phone, or sometimes you can request it via email. I mean, there's different ways that you can do it, but you would type in that code into, either on your phone or, on a website. You take that code and you type it in, and that verifies that yes, it is Agnes or it is Wendy.
And I will be the first to admit that I find that frustrating at times, but I have to appreciate the reason that it's happening. So I just go get the phone and
Yeah.
all that
Right.
stuff.
And I think that's the thing too. I know it can be, but it's usually quick. And you got to think about, well, what is the alternative? I'd rather spend a couple of extra minutes verifying that, yes, it's me, even though sometimes you're like, really? Didn't you know?
For the fourth
But,
time today.
right. Exactly. But it's definitely better doing that because often, especially if you're logging in from a device that's not recognized, that's when often you'll see it prompted. Too, like it's maybe it's a new device, it's a new laptop, or you're borrowing your friend's laptop and you need to check your bank balance. Well, they don't recognize that device because you've been logging in from your own device, which has a different IP address, which is just helps you understand it's that device. So it really is for a reason. It's worth the couple of moments that it takes, and it is so quick because our information, as we've been talking about throughout this episode, Agnes, is the most important thing. We gotta do what we need to do to protect it.
Okay, so we are protecting ourselves in the best way possible. However, we do hear about data breaches of major corporations that the hackers get all sorts of personal information about us. Now, we have talked about the I've been pwned, or have I been pwned? Can you talk about that,
Absolutely. Have I
please?
Been Pwned is a website you can go to where you can enter your email address. And you might have more than one. You could put all of them in there separately if you liked. But it will tell you if your email address is one of those pieces of information or other information has been part of a data breach. And most of us, I mean, they happen so often to so many big companies, to your point. That is very likely that that has happened to us. It is very likely that we'll find our information has been involved in some way. And that leads me to why it's so important to monitor your credit. So important. Just yesterday, Agnes, amazing timing, I logged into this site I use to look at my credit report, and they send you a monthly update about has there been any unusual activity? Is there anything that you should be aware of? Is there, even when you open up a new credit card, it'll send you a thing saying, do you recognize this? Because sometimes they do get our information from, so many different ways. And they could use it potentially to open up credit cards or do other things. And that's why it's so important. Again, goes back to we need to protect what we've got because we've heard so many stories of people that have lost everything for different reasons, however it might have happened. And especially when we think about like we're boomers, we're aging, you know, we maybe some of us are retired and not working anymore, or we're eyeing retirement. Well, that money is really important. We're going to need that money, right? We can't have that money disappearing because we made some mistake and someone took our money, right? We need to be vigilant. And especially if we're retired, we have more time, hopefully, to monitor these things than when we're right busy working. So it's just another thing to consider.
Well, and my way of looking at it is it's better to go to Have I Been Pwned than to spend an hour on the Facebook rabbit hole.
Absolutely, which is so easy. You know, we can, that's like me and scrolling on Instagram. Oh, I get sucked in.
I have the pwned website up here, and my email address was in two different breaches, and I was looking at them going like, okay, well, that company wouldn't have much on me, like maybe my email address and password. That's it. They have
Yeah.
no credit card information, nothing like that. So I'm not going to worry about that. Now, speaking of credit cards, once again, because I am me, if I'm buying something online, which I try to buy local as much as I can, but if I am buying something online, if I can't use a certain pay portal that I pr prefer, I will often back out in order to not give my credit card to a lot of different companies. Is that like how is it, is there any way of knowing whether, you know, when you really want something,
Yeah.
and especially now with the fake websites that look
Yeah,
exactly like the originals,
yeah.
but you know, like how many sites do you really want to give your credit card number to?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the thing is, it's no different though than back in the day when, you know, they used to have those things where they'd kind of go over your credit card, you give it to them, and they could keep the receipts and steal your number. So it's just a different way of doing that. I don't think it's usually a problem if it's reputable companies that you recognize. Like generally the Targets of the world are not going to be doing that. But there will be the people that like their Target that certainly could. So the thing I would say that I recommend is it's better to use your credit card, however, than a debit card because
Oh, okay.
the credit card comes with protections and you're never, if you report it, liable then I believe then for more than $50, at least in the US. I can't speak to other parts of the world, which, you know, because when you use your debit card, it's your bank account. And so I do not recommend that when you're making online purchases. I always think it's best to use a credit card. Never store your credit card because there are places, you know, that often they'll give you an option, you know, to store the credit card number. So I don't recommend that. But if it's just like for a one-time purchase from a reputable website, using your credit card should not be a problem. And you know, but you know, we just want to be careful to make sure it's the real website. So it's one thing when you're on the mailing list for a company, like you're getting target.com emails because I send them to you like all the time. And so then you know it's really Target. You can feel pretty confident it's Target. But if you get something that seems unsolicited, that seems unexpected from some company that you're like, I don't know about this. I don't ever hear from them. Like that's unexpected. When you start getting emails from something that you never signed up for. That's unexpected. That's something that you might feel suspicious about. So, and again, I think if you go directly to the website, though, when in doubt, just go to a new tab and type in target.com if you feel unsure or whatever the company might be. So, those are some things. The other thing I'll say, though, is I would be really careful about using one of the services, money transfer services like Venmo or Cash App. If it's a company you've never dealt with before, if it's some kind of mom and pop place, always use a major credit card. Do not use that because it's almost impossible to get your money back if you find out that like the things never arrive. You use Cash App. I mean, they're taking it out of your bank account and like once the money's gone, the money is gone and you're not going to get it back. It's one thing when it's your credit card and you've got this company behind you, but when you go and use Venmo or Cash App for so, I mean, it's one thing when you're doing it with your friends. You know, someone bought tickets to the theater, you're reimbursing them, you know them. That's one thing. That's fine. But when it's a company or someone that you are not familiar with, because even cyber criminals will say, well, pay me by Cash App or Venmo or something like that. Nope. That's when we should be suspicious.
I must admit, I've never even heard of those. I use the
Yeah, I'm,
PayPal.
right. And even PayPal, when it's a company, even PayPal, when it is a company that you don't know, is what, again, when it's someone that you trust and you know, it's one thing to use PayPal. If it's like, I've never heard of this company before and I'm gonna like PayPal them this money, if it ends up not working out, it's hard to get your money back.
This
So,
might be a good time to just morph over slightly. How are we doing? We're gonna go. We are gonna go well over time. This is great. I don't use Google as a search engine for those tracking reasons and the advertisers and all that other stuff. And I just find, I mean, if I go here, I'm just gonna do this really quickly. If I open up a new tab, the search engine that I use will tell me that they have blocked. Well, this is probably in, I don't know, 6, 8 months, 90,000 tracking attempts were blocked. So, and like in the last little while, Google is right up there. There's several here that I don't even know what they are that have tried to track my stuff. And it's just, yeah, it's pretty scary. The stuff that goes on that we will never, ever know about.
never know about, never know about. I mean, at the very least, we know that sometimes if you do Google something or even just clicking on a link, like in social media, you're in social media, you see some ad, you click on it, and then everywhere you go, there's that ad, right, on websites. So they're, I don't want to say they're like watching us all the time because that sounds so like eerie. But Agnes, you already know this, right? They're pretty much watching us all the time. Or, they can see, they get to know our habits and what we do. And just got to be really careful. Got to
I
be
think the
careful.
scariest one for me was a friend in California, and we Skype each other once a week just to catch up because we're friends. And we talked about something, and this is going back a year, so I can't remember what it was. And the next day, both of us opened up our computers, and there were ads, and that was a conversation. So now that is scary.
Oh, yeah, and that's the other thing too about how our phones listen to us. I know it seems so weird, but I mean, this is like the blessing and the curse of technology. Like technology in so many ways can enhance our lives in very positive ways, but then there's the downside. Like it's like everything in life, right? There's the pros and the cons to almost anything in life, and technology is really no different.
Which is why a conversation like this is so important, so that people are aware of
Yes,
what can happen.
exactly. And it's not that we want to scare people, but we want to make them aware because we can respond differently. We can prepare ourselves differently if we know. We don't know what we don't know, and sometimes things happen. But when we do know what we know, then we can build our muscles because I do think this is about forming habits, cyber safe habits. We're trying to form cyber safe habits, just like we form habits about. Like I'm always working on here. Here's my water bottle. I'm always working on my habit of drinking more water, right? That's a habit. Being safe online is a habit too, right? There you go. And I have days where I just do so well. I'm so well hydrated. And then Agnes, there are days when I'm not.
Yeah, right. Oh, you have that pesky little habit called being human.
Yes, I have that too.
Oh dear. Okay, where can people go to find out? Like, is there a site, or is the Yale podcast a good place to go to learn more? Is there?
That is a great place to go for some basic information. We talk a lot about in our season one, we talked a lot about different scams that, and we talked a lot about, for example, gift cards. And anytime, by the way, someone says you need to go buy gift cards, you can tell automatically that is a scam because people won't ask you to pay for things in gift cards. They just don't do that. And so we talk about all kinds of things like that, how to begin to recognize things. You mentioned like summer, what happens in the summer, travel scams. I know one of the big things these days is going to what might be a rental. And, some person has stolen like the listing and listed themselves. And then maybe you pay the money and you get there and someone else is in your thing because it was fake. So now someone's stolen your money and it's not even the real listing. So we talk about all kinds of things like that. So the podcast is a great place to start. And you can find the Be CyberFit podcast, Simplifying Cybersecurity for Everyone, on all of your usual podcast platforms. And that's a great way to get started in just building. You know, this is all about us building our cyber know-how. Let's get
Okay,
this
at the very
started.
beginning, we did talk briefly about Reinvention Rebels.
Oh, yes.
I want you to come back and talk Reinvention Rebels at some point in time. Can you give our listeners just a hook
I
about
can.
Reinvention
I
Rebels?
can. So imagine hearing stories of brave and unapologetic women that are between 50 and 90 that have reinvented themselves in bold, imaginative, inspiring, and remarkable ways. That's what I do. I share these stories of women who have started fresh, often look within to find the courage to do so, listen to their inner wisdom to guide them, and have done such extraordinary things. And I don't mean like extraordinary, I'm a famous person and I can get all the coaches in the world to help me do whatever and start fresh. I'm talking about, Agnes, people like you and me, average people who have discovered themselves or rediscovered themselves and often given themselves permission to live on purpose in this next chapter. Because, you know, so many women are caretakers, nurturing everybody else but themselves, their children, their spouse, their colleagues at work, whatever, whoever it might be, and not spending enough time on themselves. So these are women that have awakened to what is possible and have reinvented themselves in really juicy ways. And I'll give you just one example. There's so many, but I'll give you one example. My friend Natalie, who decided to retire early at 59, she'd been a teacher, downsized her life significantly, traveled around the world with a carry-on suitcase, just a carry-on bag, and decided that she wanted to retire in Portugal. And now is 63, has been there for a year, and is literally living her best life. So she just like reimagined, like, what could life be? And how can I live on my own terms? Not what someone else wants for me, but what I want for myself. So there are so many stories like that. All right, so I'm gonna tell you one more. One more for the teaser. That's it though. All right. There is Carolyn. Carolyn at 72. So Carolyn was retired from her professional career. At 72, she felt like she was kind of, you know, morphing to the woodwork. And she stopped by one of her friends who's a designer and started talking about fashion for older women. It ends up that at 72, Carolyn started a modeling career. So now Carolyn is a vertically challenged African American woman with natural hair. So none of the things that you think of when you think of a model. And she's now 75 and literally is modeling around the world, like modeled in Paris, among many other places. So it's all about what's possible. It's all about what is possible when we believe anything is possible. And then we do some of the work, the inner work, to uncover what that could be, and then the outer work of actually making it happen. And it is just an incredible joy to talk to these really extraordinary women. So if you want a little taste of what we're going to talk about, you can go to reinventionrebels.com, which is my website, and you can see all these interviews with these amazing women.
Well, and I was going to withhold that email or that URL
You can take it
just
out if
so
you
that,
want.
well,
You can take it out.
no. That's great. It'll probably just entice them to come back so that when you're on talking about that, the one word I put in my notes that I noticed on your website, that website was unapologetic. And I love that word. It's not like you're kicking somebody in the shins. It's like, I am taking responsibility. I am going for my dreams. And I am not sorry.
Exactly. I am not sorry. I am not sorry. Exactly. And there's something to be said for that. It's like really awesome. So anyway, and you can take it out or leave it in, whatever you want to do.
No, that's great. Okay, so the Be CyberFit link is in the show notes. All of the links that we've talked about and that you'll send me are on your page at our website. Listeners, if you have thoughts on today's show, please talk to us. Leave comments where you're listening, or if you're listening at the Boomer Woman's podcast at boomwithabang.com, scroll to the bottom of the page and talk to us there. Or, I think we covered a lot of ground today, but what question did I not ask? Wendy. Ask it in the comments and I will get you an answer. Leave stars and reviews where you can. They expand our reach and share this episode. I think I can safely say that not a day goes by that we don't hear about some breach or other. Might be a huge corporation, might be an elderly person down the street. More and more, it's a tech-savvy person who says, "I never thought I could fall for something like this." If we're naive, it can be embarrassing and costly. So share this episode and make sure everyone in your circle is more cybersecurity aware. Wendy Battles, thank you for being my guest today. As I said in my intro, online security is one of my soapboxes, and I really appreciate you sharing your professional knowledge.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much, Agnes.
Thank you. Have a great rest of week.
You too.